Yeah. Paul's moving up the river. Wow, amen, man.
They're going to shut the Paul off.
Get out of here. Wow. Where do they divert all that water? I wonder where they divert all that water. Oh, wow. Amen, man. We had that clothed in righteousness. That was in a message. I'm trying to remember. You know, you preach, as much as I do, they start running together. But we had something about being clothed in righteousness. Amen, didn't we? I was about to shout, clothed in righteousness. Come on, man. Amen. I can't remember. A couple weeks back, maybe. I don't know. Something like that. Hey, guess what? Joe Rudell got that job. Amen. Praise the Lord, Joe. That's awesome. Come on, yeah. Who wants to lift that up as a praise? Anybody? All right, thank you, Brother Joe. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. How's your eyes doing there, sister? You can see, but you just can't read. Is it better? Is your sight better? So what do they, wait a couple days or a couple weeks and do a new prescription? Yeah, but they've gotten how much better? 50% better? 60%? A lot better. Amen. That's awesome, man. Get that blood pressure down, girl. Amen. I'm feeling you on that deal. All right. You're trying to stay out of her way. All right, Fred, stay out of her way, man. You try to figure out that Chick-fil-A app. You just sit over there in the corner and try to figure that app out. Other praises. Anybody? Yes, sir. 5,000 miles. Nobody got sick. Praise the Lord, man. That's a great vacation. Good weather. We tried to save a little hot weather for you. We knew you'd be missing it. So we... Yeah. I tried to dial up a 100-degree day, but just couldn't get there. Oh, man, it's just like 100, isn't it? Yeah, close enough. Yeah. Yesterday, the temperature humidity index was on up there. Today, not too bad. Not too bad. Amen. Anything else? What else? Hit me with it. What you got? What do you think? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's a great praise. Awesome blossom, man. That is great. That is great. Jeremiah, you got any job news for me, brother?
No update yet. The gentleman that I thought I would see at our campus, I have not seen, so okay. He must be busy elsewhere, and they haven't contacted me, and I haven't heard from any of the other candidates either. Okay. So no updates yet.
All right, brother. Keep us in the loop. We want to get excited if you get it, and want to get excited if God keeps you where he's at. So God opens and closes those doors. Amen? What you got? Yeah, amen, brother. We're glad. We're glad you're in Awanas, man. I'm telling you, that is awesome. And you won't hurt my feelings if you feel led to go over there and help. Not at all. That's a great ministry. Sometimes you need to set and soak, and sometimes you need to be squeezed like a sponge, right? And get some of that soaking out of you. So, man, I tell you what, I would cry about 30 seconds if everybody volunteered for Awanas. I'd be hurt, and then Miss Bickie'd say, "Oh, Pastor, it's okay. Here's a piece of candy." All right. Ruth chapter 3, man. Let's commence it, okay? Let's commence to getting into it. Ruth chapter 3, I'm in verse 1, and you're going to hear verse 1 through 5. This will be the third time you've heard it. We're going to read all the way down to 14 this time, and we're going to seek to cover that far. The Word of God reads in Ruth chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." We're going to talk about what winnowing is. "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid." So spread your covering over your maid. Your Bible may say mantle. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whether you ask, whatever you ask, for all the people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Now, it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Verse 14, so she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, and Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would apply it to our hearts and give us sustenance and give us encouragement to finish out the rest of this week. We thank you for the great salvation that we possess and the mercy that we have received and the grace and the forgiveness that is represented by the shed blood on Calvary's cross that covers us, clothes us in righteousness. We praise you and we thank you tonight for our opportunity to be here. What a privilege it is. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. So Ruth prepared to meet Boaz. That really was the balance of verses 1 through 5. And we've covered four of these things. We said, first, she washed herself. Second, she was to anoint herself. Third, she was to change clothes, get the clothes off of a grieving widow, and put the clothes on of grace. Yeah, it was last week. It was last week, right? The clothes of grace on. Put on them the best clothes she had, right? Change her clothes. Fourth, learning how to present herself to him. That was verses 3 and 4. And so, what is the point thus far? The point thus far is that Ruth is much more than the record of the marriage of a rejected Moabite alien to a respected Jew named Boaz. It's much more than that. Amen? This book is also the picture of Christ's relationship to those who trust Him and belong to Him. You see the representation, right? Do you see the representation? The relationship between Boaz and Ruth and our relationship between us and Christ. Do you see how that goes together? Well, Pastor Boaz is going to marry Ruth. Well, church, Christ is going to marry us. Amen? We're the bride of Christ. So, well, that sounds weird and creepy. It shouldn't sound weird and creepy at all. Amen? He loves us. He's taken us to a heavenly home. Amen? We're going to be given to Him by God the Father. He is the groom, and we are the bride. In the steps that Ruth takes, recorded in this chapter, we see the steps that God's people must take if they want to enter into a deeper relationship. And the whole time we've been going through this, it's been about a deeper relationship, a closer relationship, a more intimate relationship, a more discipled relationship. It's always been about a more this, a more that. In other words, it's more than just salvation, right? It's salvation plus growth. It's salvation plus I'm going down the road with the Lord. Amen? It's salvation plus I'm growing in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? Do we need to get a coffee pot in here? Some of you are like, I'll coffee you up. It don't bother me now. Well, drinking in the sanctuary? Well, we can have you drink it back there on the tile, right? Get you a quick chug. Don't. Come in here and sit down. That's the best way to drink your coffee, really. Put a cube of ice in it. Kind of swish it around. Oh, don't. And then come on in. Ah! Get you going, amen? Right? What was the guy? What's the guy that's living? What, the guy brought the cookies? Yeah, Ed. I mean, Ed had some funny sayings about coffee, amen? Some funny sayings. Good guy. All right. Back to this. Like Ruth, we must not be satisfied merely with living on leftovers. That really is the fear. That really is what a lot of people do. They live on the leftovers, right? Leftovers of their salvation experience, and they don't ever really experience growth, discipleship. They don't ever really experience going forward with God. They just live on the leftovers. We got to get past living on the leftovers. Amen. We got to do what? What have we been talking about? We have got to get over wanting to receive gifts from God. We've got to desire Jesus with everything within us. Amen? We got to go after Jesus gung-ho. We got to go after Jesus with everything within us. I was talking to a guy today, Daniel Dean. Man, he's an interesting fella. He goes to that River of Praise church. He's got a couple of kids. You know where River of Praise is, right? Got the big cross on 99. Yeah, 99. Yeah, 99. And he's got a bug in him to preach. And I told him, I said, hey, look, man, what's your number? And he gives me his number, and I'm dialing it all in. And I go, buddy, I'll tell you what, man, I'll put you down as a supply preacher. I go, now, hey, when you get a call from me, it won't be a week out. If I need somebody to preach a week out, I go, I got an associate to do that. I go, but you get a call from me, it's going to be Saturday night. I'm going to be driving the porcelain bus, and I'm going to be needing somebody in less than 12 hours. Oh, Pastor, man, I can go. I'm willing to do it. I go, hey, we're cessationist here. He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, we don't publicly speak in tongues. We're cessationists. We believe that gift went on with the apostles. He goes, you don't want me preaching on tongues. I go, that would be what I'm telling you. He goes, well, I don't believe I have that gift. He goes, but I do have this. He goes, I do have this language sometimes when I pray. I said, a private prayer language? Dude, you knock all that out, you won't. You got a private prayer language? I'm all for you, man. I'm all for you. He goes, do you think you have anybody in your church? I go, there's two or three in my church that would claim they have a private prayer language. Nothing wrong with that. Doesn't cause confusion in the body. Doesn't cause division in the body. You're not looking around for somebody to interpret what's going on. I said, you want to pray? You want to have a private prayer language? Man, you private prayer language all day long. He goes, well, man, I think I could do that. I go, I think you could too. I go, don't pray I get sick though. Amen. But what I told you all that to tell you this. This guy has a hunger for the Lord. I mean, he is just exciting to be around because he has a hunger. Yeah. You know Daniel Dean? Okay. He's been bit. Yeah. He's been. Yeah. He's been bit, boy, I tell you. Yeah, amen. Amen. So you may see old Daniel. He is, yeah. He is amazing. But this is a guy, if there ever was a life illustration of somebody that just had a hunger for Jesus, this is a guy. And he's had some tough times in his life. It's not like his life has been just everything go his way. I mean, he's had some tough, difficult stuff. But even through all the difficult stuff and the poverty he's been through and just the down times he's been through, he's always hungered for the Lord. He's always hungered for the Lord. Anyway, so that's where we got to get. We can't all be Daniel Dean, but we can certainly hunger for the Lord like Daniel Dean hungers for the Lord. Amen? So Ruth prepared to meet Boaz. The fifth and final thing that Ruth did to prepare to meet Boaz that we said we were going to cover tonight, finally, Ruth promised to obey. Verse 5, look at it with me. She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." There is something like a willing of obedience in a Christian. There's nothing like it. It is just, it's incredible when the Christian, when they're looking at the will of God and they go from this posture and they go to this posture, right? Just willing, whatever you want me to do, I will obey. Whatever it is, God, I'm going to obey you, right? Finally, Ruth promised to obey. She was not only a hearer of the word. We like to hear the word. Oh, man, preacher, that was a good message. I used to put people on the spot. I don't do it anymore because I've softened in my age. But I used to put people on the spot. They'd come by, brother, and they'd say, "Oh, I love that message." I'd go, "What do you like about it?" Well, I really like it. Well, what? What did you like? What was so moving about it? We like to hear the word, but do we really like to do the word? Hearing and doing, right? We got a transition from just hearing it, and I'm not saying you folks just hear the word and you don't do it. Not at all. But we can all grow in the area of what I'm talking about. Amen? Right? Hearing and then doing. Amen? So a willingness to obey the Lord, this is the payout for you. This is the bonus. A willingness to obey the Lord is the secret of knowing what He wants us to do and being blessed when we do it. If we just hear the word and we don't ever do the word, then don't get upset with God when you don't know any direction for your life. Don't be upset with God, right? You do what He tells you to do, and guess what? He'll show you what else you need to do. And when you do that, He'll show you what else you need to do. And so on and so forth, and down the road we go with the Lord. Amen? But if you drag your heels, if you cross your arms, if you say, "Well, I just want to hear it. I'm comfortable with hearing it. I don't think I'm going to be comfortable with doing any of it," then you're just going to hear it. It's going to go in one ear and out the other ear. Yeah, that's about it. Amen? The Word of God says in John 7:17, "If anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." The will of God, and I often think we think it's like this, and it's not like this. The will of God is not like Luby's, right? You don't go down and look at the will of God and say, "I'll take a little bit of that, but I don't want that. Well, come on down here. Well, I'll take one of those, but I don't want that. Come on down here. Well, a little bit of that," but it ain't like that. The will of God is the will of God. It's an all thing. It's an all proposition. Amen? It's not a cafeteria plan. It's not a trip to Luby's. We don't pick and choose what we want. God expects us to accept all that He plans for us and to obey Him completely. So let me give you the application. Coming to God, and this is an oxymoron when I say this, coming to God. Oh, man. I'm not very smart sometimes. Coming to God with a hidden agenda. Duh, Pastor, you can't have a hidden agenda with God. Coming to God with a hidden agenda, which you really can't have, right? But you think you're hiding something from God. Coming to God with a hidden agenda, He basically sees through that. Coming to God with a hidden agenda and with reservations in our hearts will only lead to quenching the Spirit of God and missing God's best for your life. And a Christian that has quenched the Spirit and has grieved the Spirit of God within themselves, that is a frustrated, that is a downtrodden, that is a defeated Christian, right? I mean, I'm telling you, when you begin to obey, hear and obey, when you begin to put one and one together and two together, and you begin to, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, and you stop saying no to God and you start saying yes, it releases the Holy Spirit in your life. And there's a feeling that comes from that. I mean, you know, you just can't deny it. There's a feel-good from being saved. There's a feel-good from being in the center of God's will. The world may be crashing in around you. The checkbook may be down to about negative 15. I mean, your health may not be the best, but if you're in the center of God's will, it's okay. Amen? It's all right. Are we together on that? I hope so. I hope so. A couple of verses for you. We've covered these before, but they can't be repeated. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. James 4, 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sins. It is sin. Sin. Ephesians 4, 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Right? So Ruth prepared to meet Boaz. Secondly, as we go through this chapter, it took us a few Bible studies to get through those first five things of preparation that she did. Secondly, Ruth submitted to Boaz, verses 6 through 9. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Ruth submitted to Boaz by being where? By being under his feet. At his feet. It's a picture of being under. Amen. A picture of being under, right? Under, right? We were having a discussion with my son about a church he wanted to attend, go to, visit. And the church was some, what was it, Stephanie? 17 miles one way. So, Sunday morning, 17, back, that's 34. Sunday night, 34. That's, what, y'all help me do the math. 34 is 68, yeah. Well, you know what we said? No. That's too far. That's too far. I said, "Trevor, I'm 51. I've been driving X amount of years." I go, "I don't even know how to get out of some road rage incidents." I go, "You can be minding your business. And somebody just want to twist off on you. And what are you going to do?" And the more you're out on the road, the more you're susceptible to that. And I go, "Tires don't last forever, Trevor." I go, "Dad pays for tires when those wear out." And I go, "Oil doesn't last forever. Oil has to be changed." I go, "You mile a car up, a car doesn't have infinite amount of miles on it. It only goes so many miles, and then that's it, right?" But, this. I mean, boy, he just kept on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So, we basically said, "Trevor, we're held accountable to God for how we raise you." And I go, "Son, let me give you the news flash. As long as you're living under this roof, you are under me and your mother. You're under us." And I go, "You need to submit." And I go, and this has gone on a while. Trust me, this has gone on a while. This wasn't like a 30-second conversation. We're into about 10 minutes. And Stephanie's like, you're raising your voice. You're raising your voice. I'm like, "Really?" "Really?" Yeah, I'm raising my voice. I finally said, "Trevor, you're too big to whip. He's taller than I am. Why, Trevor, one more word, and you're going to lay that phone down and those car keys right down there on that dresser. And I go, you're going to make my life difficult because I'm going to be driving you to school tomorrow morning. I go, that's one thing I do not want to do. I feel blessed. I don't have to do that. You can take your sisters to school. But if you want to go this way, you're going to lose that car, and I'm driving you to school. And I'll be driving you to work. I go, do you really want to do that to you, Dad? So he finally put it in neutral. He kind of backed off a little bit. And I said, you know what, Trevor, if we're wrong, and me and your mother are wrong, because we're both in agreement about this, and we hadn't even talked about it. We hadn't even talked about it. We're both in agreement about it. I go, if we're wrong, Holy Spirit will show us. I go, and you'll be at that church in 30 days, a couple weeks. But I go, if we're right, buddy, you need to submit. Amen. He came back the next morning. He said, Dad, I'm sorry for not wanting to submit to you. I said, well, Trevor, that's good. I go, you're forgiven, buddy. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep trucking on. Amen. Amen. I go, you visit churches right around your sphere of where you're living. You don't have to drive 30 miles to find a church. Amen. Submit. That's what we're talking about. That's what she did. She got at his feet. Now, what's going on here? Let's set the context. You got the harvest season. It was an especially joyful time for the Jews. Had they drank wine? Would they drink wine? Apparently they did drink wine. It was one of those things where they celebrated this time of harvest. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15 says, 7 days you shall celebrate a feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you and all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Amen? Now, most people today, me included, we live separated from the sources of our daily bread, don't we? I mean, none of you twisted the head off a chicken tonight, did you? Right? Nobody kneaded the bread and put it in the oven, did you? No? We run down to the Heb or the Wally World or the K. Roger. That's where we go. Amen. Or the corner store, whatever it may be. And we get our bread and our milk and our eggs and all that jazz. I mean, we're kind of separated from that, right? The sources of our daily bread. We don't realize all that's involved in producing food. If we had a better handle on the process of producing the food we consume, I bet our prayers would take on a different meaning when we come together at the table. We thought about how many hands and how much effort, how much sun and how much water and how much time has gone in to producing the bountiful harvest that we put on our tables that we consume. I mean, food's a great blessing, amen? Without it, you can't get by, can you? Amen? We'd be thankful for the farmer, what the farmer goes through to keep each of us alive, amen? Driving through Kansas this summer to get to Missouri when we were going on vacation, I remember passing the sign. I can't actually remember what the number on the sign was, so I Googled it, and it's amazing how farm techniques and technology have increased. When they first put this sign up, it was one Kansas farmer feeds 55 people. I want to say that was back in the 70s when they put that sign up. Now the sign reads today, and I saw the sign, but I don't know if the sign I saw was an up-to-date sign. But today, one Kansas farmer feeds 155 people. Right? Another statistic worth sharing is 1 acre of Kansas wheat. I pastored Belle Plaine, Kansas for 5 years in Sumner County. Sumner County is what was it? Was it Sumner? Yeah, Sedgwick was Wichita. We were in Sumner. Sumner County was one of the highest producing counties of wheat in the country, man. I mean, friend, the deer were big. The wheat was big. The soybeans were big. The corn was big. I mean, it was good, man, I'm telling you, right? But this is what one statistic I read talking about Kansas farmers and Kansas agriculture. Another statistic worth sharing is 1 acre of Kansas wheat could feed 15,390 people for one day. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? Harvesting and threshing were cooperative enterprises. This is how they did it. The men of a village would take turns using the threshing floor. What in the world is a threshing floor? It was usually a raised platform outside the village and often on a hill where it could catch the evening breeze. The men would deposit the sheaves of wheat on the floor and then separate the grain from the stalks, get this, by having oxen walk on the wheat stalks. That's reported for us in Deuteronomy 25:4. They would also beat the stalks. And we read that in Ruth chapter 2, verse 17. Once the grain was separated, the workers would throw the grain into the air. Just throw it up into the air on top of this threshing floor, and the breeze would carry the chaff away while the grain fell to the floor. The grain would then be heaped up to be carried away for marketing or storage. And the men often worked in the evening when the breeze was up, and they slept at the threshing floor to protect their investment. That's why they were there, right? That's why they were sleeping. That's why they were close. Four times in this chapter, there is mention of feet. Chapter 3, verse 4, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, chapter 3, verse 14. Ruth had fallen in submission at the feet of Boaz in response to his gracious words in chapter 2, verse 10. Remember those words, 2:10? Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law." Remember all that? Amen? But now she was coming to his feet. Now get this. In submission at his feet, she's proposing marriage. She's proposing marriage. Right? What? She was asking him to obey the law of the kinsman redeemer, uncovering his feet, laying at his feet with his feet uncovered. She was asking him to take her as his wife. And we may ask, why did Ruth not wait for Boaz to propose to her? Wouldn't that have been more romantic, Pastor? Wouldn't that have been more better, Pastor, for the man to propose to the woman? I guess his statement in chapter 3, verse 10 kind of suggests the first reason why he was waiting. Then he said, May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. He really hadn't pursued her as a kinsman redeemer because he thought she was out of his league, right? She's going to marry somebody younger. Boaz was an older man. Ruth was a younger woman. Evidently, he concluded that he was out of the running. But the most important reason is given in verse 12 why Ruth did not wait for Boaz. Verse 12 says, "Now it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I." Perhaps Boaz was waiting on that relative to be the kinsman redeemer. But the most there was a near kinsman in town who had the first option on Ruth and the property, and Boaz was perhaps, was waiting for him to act. However, now in our present passage, somebody has pushed the point. Who is our somebody who's pushed the point? Ruth. She's uncovered his feet at the threshing floor, right? She's laid down in submission. She has proposed marriage to him. Pretty bold, ladies, amen? Pretty bold, right? Ruth's forced the issue. Now Boaz could approach this kinsman and get him to decide. So Boaz wakes up at midnight. The passage says in the middle of the night, that would be midnight, to find a woman lying at his feet. Ruth no longer identifies herself as the Moabitess, but the maid or handmaid, depending on your translation. Now she was the handmaid or maid of Boaz. She was making a new beginning. This deal about to, let me see if I get this right, to spread one's covering or one's mantle over a person meant to claim that person for yourself. If you put your cloak on somebody, you were claiming them for yourself. Ezekiel 16:8, 1 Kings 19:19, particularly in marriage this was done. The word translated covering or skirt in your translation can also mean wing, like a wing of a bird. Ruth had come under the wings of Jehovah God, Ruth chapter 2:12, and now she would be under the wings of Boaz, her beloved husband. And it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of marriage. Amen? And who are we going to marry? Yeah. You going to be ready for the big day? Amen. I'm going to be clothed in righteousness. Amen. Ready for the big day. It's going to be awesome. Amen? Amen. Big time. As we move on through the chapter, Ruth submitted to Boaz. Ruth prepared to meet Boaz. Finally, this evening, Ruth listened to Boaz. Verses 10 through 14, the balance of what we've read. In the response of Boaz to Ruth, we see how the Lord responds to us when we seek to have a deeper fellowship with Him. Just as Boaz spoke to Ruth, so God speaks to us from His Word. Amen? From His Word. See, He accepts us. Verses 8 through 10. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid." Then He said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness." He accepts us. Boaz might have refused to have anything to do with Ruth, but in his love for her, he accepted her. Through this passage, he called her my daughter and pronounced a blessing on her. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Amen? Boaz spoke a blessing on her, and Jesus has, or the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has spoken a blessing on us. Our Heavenly Father and our Redeemer are seeking for a closer relationship with us, and we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid to draw near and share their love. God the Father, God the Son. We should not be afraid to share that love, but sometimes we are afraid. What are we afraid of? Afraid of change. We're afraid of change, I think. Don't you think we're afraid of change? And we're changing all the time, but we don't think we're changing. But you take a picture of yourself when you're 5, and then take a picture of yourself when you're 10, take a picture of yourself when you're 20, take a picture of yourself when you're 40. I've got my passports, you know, through the years. Well, that first passport looks a lot different than the second one. Woo, man, I'm afraid to go get one made now. Compare all three of them. Somebody's getting old up in here. Amen? I mean, the hair's letting go and the beard's turning white, right? And the eyes aren't as crisp as they used to be. The eyes just aren't, the countenance ain't as sharp as it used to be. Amen? And the teeth are a little duller than they used to be and a little looser, by the way, the teeth are. Yeah. I'd be careful how I eat, right? Amen? And we're all the time changing, but we think, you know, if we draw close to God, He's really going to change our life up. He's going to make our life boring. It's going to be a drag, but that is not the case at all. Your life is going to take off, friend. Take off. John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24 says, and I'm just about done. It says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Notice this obedience again. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. That's the big payoff of obedience, folks. Jesus discloses himself to you. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." There it is again. "He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him via the Holy Spirit." Amen? "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." James chapter 4, verses 7 through 9 says, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll do what? Draw near to God, and he will do what? Draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners." Everybody in the room's a sinner. Everybody in the room. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." If we could only realize, in even a small way, even a small way, the great love our kinsman Redeemer has for us, then we would forsake everything. We would forsake everything and enjoy His fellowship. Amen? Now, you guys have done that. You're wanting to fellowship with Him tonight. Now, I know you came to fellowship with one another, but you're here to fellowship with God. Amen? You want to fellowship in the power of the Word of God, and you want to fellowship in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you want to fellowship in the presence of Christ, and Jesus is here. Amen? And it's a good thing, right? It's a good feeling thing, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good about Jesus. Amen? Nothing wrong with having peace in your heart and a spring in your step and knowing that you're going to get through the rest of the week. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll pray some more. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for this portion of the evening. And, Lord, we went a little long tonight, but that's okay. We'll get it all straightened out as we go through this. But, Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for all these scriptures, Lord, that we shared. It's been a Bible study night. And, Lord, we pray now the Holy Spirit would take this Word that we shared and it would apply it to each of our hearts. And, Lord, we would seek to be closer to You. And, Lord, some are already doing that. Some are already seeking to be so close to You. And some have already abandoned and given up on everything else, Lord, and they're just seeking after You with everything within them. We praise God for them, Lord. We thank You for them. And we pray You keep them encouraged in that endeavor, in that desire. But Lord, for those of us that struggle in this area, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us desire You. Not things about You, but You. Desire You. Thank You for this picture of Ruth coming and lying at Boaz's feet. That's what we need to do. We need to submit to Jesus. We need to get at His feet, on our faces, in prayer, in His Word. And just enjoy the time. Don't rush through it. Just enjoy the time. Listen. Listen to God. Hear God speak through His Word. Hear God speak through our inner man. Oh, be ready to go for Jesus the next day or the next week or whatever it may be. Lord, we love You tonight. Thank You for being here. Thank You for allowing us to be a part of what You're doing. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. We got an update on Linda, Miss...